Well, we are sailing our way through a Michigan spring, and that means there's plenty of fresh local produce for you to cook with. Award-winning chef James Rigotto has been exploring the season at his Oakland County restaurants, Mabel Gray in Hazel Park and The Root in White Lake Township. And he's here now to share some of his creative ideas with us. It's always good to see you here, Chef Rigotto.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So when you think of cooking in spring, what immediately comes to mind? Things that you know we just can't get as well later in the year.
You know, the first things that kind of push through are like the allium family. So things like garlic, ramps, you know, when I say garlic, like green garlic, which isn't even a formed bulb yet, but it kind of looks like a scallion, but has a real strong nutty garlic flavor, you know. Fiddlehead ferns, the foraged things like mushrooms, and even I learned last year about Japanese knotweed, which kind of looks like a little bamboo, but even that is a phenomenal little foraged ingredient, kind of a tart, really almost astringent flavor, but it pickles very well. So I think of like strong little green things that kind of shoot through the earth first, you know, kind of like the first, you know, green sprouts of life in spring. Very concentrated flavors, very bright, a lot of onion kind of backbone flavors.
Okay.
But things that, you know, enhance a dish or, you know, we've been doing like a wild ramp butter that we kind of like put on oysters, a little breadcrumb and bake these oysters with a wild ramp butter.
And I want to call you out on ramp because I have started to hear this and I never remember having heard about ramps in the past, but they certainly have come to be a favorite of people who love food.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what are they?
They're basically a wild onion. So they kind of have a bulb, like a little stem that looks like a scallion. And then it has like usually two or three pieces of like, you know, leafy green that kind of shoot off. And they're very, once you see one, you're going to spot it. And you know, you'll be like, oh my gosh, I've had those in my backyard. And they're a wonderful indigenous kind of wild plant. So most of the time they're harvested sustainably, and you can buy them, you know, every spring. So
at most any store or specialty store?
You know, I would say like farmers markets, specialty stores, places like, you know, Whole Foods or Plum Market. But they're also like, you know, I would really go for the farmers market and find foragers that are out in state land. And, you know, whenever it comes to wild things or foraging, I like to know where it came from. You know, is this next to a golf course with a lot of weird runoff? I'm not into that.
Got
it. Is it from the middle of state land where you trek an hour in? Oh, yeah, I'll take that all day.
So you talk to the person
absolutely.
Ask them questions.
And most of your foragers are equally as passionate as you are. So, state land is a great one. You know, parks. I mean, they're a chef's favorite. I mean, I think, you know, back in my day, they were like half the price. Now they're like, now when they first start in the season, you're seeing like $10 to $15 a pound.
Well, in fact, I Googled last night and some story from the New York Times came up and talked about people fighting each other over the last, you know, bunch of ramp in some market.
Exactly. And a lot of chefs, you know, like chefs like Paul Verrant in Chicago, I mean, he pickles like hundreds and hundreds of pounds and then uses them all year long. So, which is great, you know, but that's, I mean, you have chefs that are that excited about it.
What do you do at home with them?
Honestly, I fold them into like pastas or like, you know, treat it like you would, like almost like the leaves can be like spinach. Chop them up, fold it into a pasta, or even like shave thin into a salad for a little bit of like a nice onion bite. Yeah. And the stems, I mean, same thing. You can treat it like a scallion and put it on top of, you know, even as generic as nachos, but they really do pickle phenomenally.
Mm.
So if you just look up a generic recipe for pickled ramps, you're really going to benefit from pickling.
Now, you think spring, you think asparagus, right?
Oh, of course.
Look at you. Your face just
lights
up.
I mean, that's a perennial plant. So that comes back every single year, and it's delicious, and it's Michigan grows a ton of it. So when I think of asparagus, I mean, I go in so many directions. I want it raw. I want it roasted. I want it, you know, I want to shave it thin and make a salad of it to garnish, you know, crudo. I want to make a soup. You know, one of the cool things about asparagus is like the stem, like the hard, knotty stems make a great vegetable stock. The center meat makes a great puree, and then the tips make a great garnish. So like one plant can become an entire soup.
And this is the time to really dig in and look for that. Spring peas. That, I mean, even the term sounds wonderful
right?
And green. What are the difference between spring peas and what we think of as peas?
Well, I mean, you know, peas are actually one of the vegetables that freeze really well. Yeah. So like frozen peas are around year round. But essentially, it's a, you know, it's usually a spring product. So there's, you know, there's sugar snaps or snow peas. Mm-hmm. But the English pea or the spring pea, as we know it, is obviously in a pod. You usually don't eat the pod. And, you know, they're a little bit easier to harvest because they just kind of pop out in five or six peas per pod. But, same, I mean, I like them. Honestly, I like them raw. You can puree them with olive oil and a little lemon juice and almost make like a raw hummus.
Okay, that sounds so good.
Those are great. Obviously, I like it. You could do a quick blanch and fold them into anything. You know, you could do like peas and carrots. You could do same thing, like a lightly buttered noodle with a little bit of fresh peas. You know, really, I mean, they go anywhere well. But try the raw puree with lemon juice and olive oil as like a dip.
I could even do that and not mess
up. Yeah, it's easy.
Now, I love lamb. And when you think spring, a lot of people think spring lamb. And I know from all my years of traveling to and from Ireland, I've come away with a love of lamb. What is your favorite thing about spring lamb?
You know, it's lamb too is kind of it kind of signifies like a fresh birth, you know, like nice, like, you know, a new life. So I think with suckling pigs and lamb and some of the birds, you know, you hear the phrase spring chicken, you know, even like eggs and dairy. It's just kind of like the farm is kind of coming back to life. So a spring lamb, I mean, I love lamb as well. And I think about all those other components like asparagus and spring peas and garlic and ramps and lamb. They all go together so well. So like a braised lamb ragu pasta with all those, you know, ramps and spring peas and morels, fiddlehead ferns. I mean, that really you can probably see a variation of a pasta like that on a menus across town.
That
right
sounds,
now.
What do you, if you were making spring lamb at home, what would you do?
At home, I like to do a roasted leg, you know, so kind of like cut like little incisions and stud it with garlic and roast it. And I mean, I like it, you know, almost like a nice spinach puree and crispy potatoes. And that's kind of my go-to. If I crispy potatoes, roasted leg of lamb, and like you blanch spinach and puree it, make like almost like a broth. That's like my go-to lamb dish.
Oh, and I've been doing that, inserting the garlic into the slits and
yeah, it's perfect.
Now, spring Michigan equals morels.
Very much.
Why are they so prized?
They have a wonderful flavor. You know, they grow around Michigan, so people get excited about foraging things. You know, Michigan has so many, like, resources with, you know, across the state with the water and the hunting and the berries. I mean, I think about, you know, thimbleberries. I think about blueberries and apples. And morels kind of fall in that category of something that Michiganders take pride in. Mm. You know, it's like our mushroom. Even, I mean, like Oregon has them and East Coast has them. But, like, we kind of feel, you know, a loyalty to them. So, yeah, I mean, morels, and, you know, they're blonde morels, too, so the bigger, meatier ones. Some of the darker morels usually are West Coast, but they can grow pretty large, and people just take a lot of pride in finding. And, you know, it's fun. You're outdoors. Yeah. The weather's nice. You're out walking in the woods. It's an activity. So I think there's a culture around the mushroom. It's not just the mushroom itself.
Now, I want to talk about a recipe you brought for us, mushroom conserva.
For sure.
Talk about this.
So this is conserva is basically the idea of kind of like a preserved, almost pickle. It doesn't have the acidity of a pickle, but it's like a preserved mushroom. So when you gather morels, they kind of grow around a similar time. So maybe you get a few pound harvest and you don't know what to do with it all.
Okay.
You can dry it. You can freeze it. But this conserva is pretty cool because it'll last for a couple weeks in your refrigerator. And you put it on bread like bruschetta. You could fold it into pasta, roasted potatoes. You can just top a steak with it. So it's like a condiment almost.
All right.
So you take olive oil and you sweat some shallots and garlic, a little bit of fresh thyme, crushed red pepper flakes.
And let me ask you about that term sweat. What does that mean?
It's just a lower heat to where it's not so much a sizzle, but it's kind of like a light. You kind of will see the shallots start to soften up. It's like a light heat. You know, just you can hear a little bit of steam coming off, a little bit of sound, but not a full-on saute or a sizzle. There's also a lot of olive oil. It's about a half cup of olive oil. So it's going to look like too hot, and you're going to fry it. You're going to fry your shallots. You don't want to do that. You just want to kind of like lightly let them kind of become more aromatic. You'll smell it more than you'll hear it.
Okay.
And then once you have your shallots and your garlic kind of, you know, lightly softened, you'll fold in your mushrooms, a little bit of salt and pepper. And let your mushrooms – wild mushrooms should always be cooked fully. You don't really want to eat raw wild mushrooms. So you want to cook them just until they soften up. And I think if you bring that up to a simmer –
Do you slice them up first?
I cut them in half. So that's a good question.
Yeah.
So when it comes to cleaning morels, my suggestion is I like to split them all. And not everyone splits them, but I like to split them because sometimes you'll have sand or grit or even little bugs or critters inside of them. It's just – so cut the mushroom down the middle. I like to kind of like almost gently massage it in a bowl of a lot of fresh water and then move it over to a salad spinner, and I spin it in a salad spinner.
There you go.
Pretty hard. Definitely do a little bit more than you would for salad just to pull all the moisture out.
Got it.
And then you'll have your clean mushrooms. Add them to your you know, olive oil and your garlic and your shallot mixture, and then saute them down a little bit just till they soften. Maybe a slight simmer for just maybe 30 seconds. Turn it back down to a low kind of sweating. And then I add red wine vinegar, sherry vinegar, and then one lemon juiced and zested. And again, season, you know, maybe taste it, might need a little more salt. Yeah. The mixture will be hot. Usually it's served cold. You can serve it warm too. But when it's chilled, taste it again because a lot of flavors get muted when something's chilled.
So you might want to tweak it.
I'm going to add a little more salt, add a little more acid. This is not a you know, dead set recipe. If you like a lot of heat, add more chili flakes. You want to add fresh parsley, go for it. So even if you don't have red wine vinegar, add all sherry vinegar. There's no, you know, there's
yes,
no,
yeah. Whatever works for you.
Yeah, there's no pressure.
Now, do you scoop it all out, including the olive oil?
Absolutely.
Everything.
So, like, I would put it in a jar or a quart container or, you know, whatever, Pyrex, whatever you have.
Yeah.
And then the olive oil should kind of sit on top. And as you refrigerate it, it'll almost form like a little, like it solidify.
Like a seal.
Yeah, it's a little cap. So that's kind of what helps preserve it. And then before you serve it, pull it out room temp for maybe 20 minutes till the olive oil goes back to being an olive oil. And then stir it up and serve.
Oh, boy. Chef Regato, it's always such a pleasure to have you with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And in case you were wondering, we have put the recipe for Chef Regato's mushroom conserva and a how-to video. It's on our website on the stateside link at michiganradio.org. Check it out.